This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. He joins us every Thursday in the 12 o'clock hour. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Great to be back, Neil. A lot to talk about.
Absolutely. The much-awaited report by Teneo, Bill Bratton, on New Orleans major event reviews and security recommendations is out. And a lot of folks have been able to consume it. I read it last night. Your thoughts?
Well, I was impressed with the overall document. Many people just focus on the fact that this report is going to make a recommendation about whether Bourbon Street should be a permanent pedestrian mall. But this report goes well beyond that. But, you know, with respect to the pedestrian mall aspect of it, their recommendation is that it be made a full-time pedestrian mall. And I don't know if the public really supports that particular measure in this. I attended two of the three meetings that were held in the French Quarter, and the general sentiment, the people that live and work and operate businesses down there, was that they didn't support a full-time pedestrian mall down there. So with increased security comes increased inconvenience. There's always going to be trade-offs. Even if it were made a full-time pedestrian mall, there would still be threats that would be assessed there. There would be vulnerabilities on Bourbon Street with respect to bombs and active shooters and things like that. So there's always going to be some trade-offs in that. And, you know, this report also says that, you know, much of the French Quarter is in the same boat as Bourbon Street, where there are threats with vehicle ramming attacks that could be launched not just on Bourbon Street, but other parts of the French Quarter. The group that was commissioned to do this, the Bratton Group, formerly known as their official name is the Teneo Group. They were present in town for the planning leading up to the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras, and, you know, they observed all of those, and many of their recommendations weren't just based on what occurred on January the 1st on Bourbon Street. But they're, you know, on the streets, observations during special events, the highlighted special events in this city, which were the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras. So they were able to assess the police department and the city's ability to provide a safe and secure environment for those type of special events. And as we all know, is there special events every weekend in the city of New Orleans. They may not be the scope every week of the Super Bowl or Mardi Gras, but they are, you know, literally, you can't go a week without some type of special event. We're a tourist destination, a lot of conventions come into town, and when they come into town, they just don't go to Bourbon Street. They visit a lot of our other aspects. Other things that we offer as a community. So this report, I think, really pointed out some, I think, important measures that go beyond just the visible, should Bourbon Street be a pedestrian mall. They identified some weaknesses within the police department, saying that there was inadequate interagency coordination. So the Teneo officials were able to sit in on the planning sessions for Mardi Gras and the Super Bowl. And they commented that they believe that that process should be more structured, more formalized. And it was termed as being ad hoc, meaning that certain officers were dealing with their counterparts in other agencies. And if one of those parties from the other agency leaves or the NOPD officer leaves, there is, a vacuum created. There needs to be a written, structured policy in place as to how the NOPD is going to interact and interface with all of their partners so that there is not any potential weakness if someone is sick or leaves the employment of the police department. They also talked about the inadequate number of barricades and barriers available to the city. They pointed out that some of the barricades that the city had had inadequate crash ratings. So the police department and the city are renting and leasing some barricades while they're deciding what type of barricades to purchase. And this report talked about some of the issues that they observed with that. So, for instance, during Mardi Gras, many of the barricades, or at least a percentage of the barricades, were held in reserve. And the Teneo group said that those barricades should be deployed. There shouldn't be any held in reserve. They should be all deployed on the streets because, we, quite frankly, they say that we have not only inadequate numbers of barricades, but, the barricades that we're using don't have the crash ratings that would be optimal to protect crowds from vehicles that were going to try and ram them. They talked about creating a community vigilance campaign. If you see something, say something. That's something that, is done in other parts of the country. We aren't doing that here, and they recommend, and that's another one of their recommendations, that New Orleans should deploy before every major event and get the community aware of their role. If they observe something, how they can quickly, report any suspicious activity or objects to law enforcement. They also noted the fact that for parade deployment, officers were bunched together in many parts of the parade route. They recommended spacing the officers out more so that there would be more coverage and more visibility along the entire parade route. So those are just, some little things. But those are, important. It shows to me, how thorough and observant they were in what they were looking at. They talked about the fact that New Orleans has an insufficient explosive detection unit and capabilities, and they need to be able to identify chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosives. They talked about the fact that technology needs to be purchased for the New Orleans Police Department. They talked about some explosive canines, bomb-detecting canines that should be available to the police department that they currently don't have or don't have in sufficient numbers. They noted the fact that there are a number of trash bins along the parade route that probably should be moved during Mardi Gras because of the ability of people to put explosives based on experience with other explosive devices placed in trash bins in other parts of the country during terrorist attacks. They noted the fact that the NOPD, even though they have a drone unit, didn't deploy any drones during Mardi Gras. And the reason the department didn't deploy their drones was because the officers that operate the drones were used for crowd control along the parade routes. Now, that was compensated for, in part, by the Louisiana State Police that were present that had their drones available, and the fact that the city of New Orleans had a SEER 1 designation, so Homeland Security also deployed drones in the air, but the NOPD drones weren't available because of staffing deficiencies. And those staffing deficiencies not only impacted the deployment of drones, but other creating other potential vulnerabilities along parade routes and with the police department's ability to adequately provide for security for other special events. So we've, you know, been talking about that for years. The fact that, you know, the department's numbers, in fact, last week we talked about how recruiting hasn't been going very well for the New Orleans Police Department, that we're losing more officers than we're hiring. And that not only impacts the department's ability to adequately staff special events, but day-to-day operations of the police department in every area. So Teneo identified that as a vulnerability and a weakness of the police department. They also suggested that SEER 1 designation be maintained for Mardi Gras going forward, because that provides federal resources that would otherwise be unavailable, and particularly with the staffing deficiencies and equipment deficiencies that the city of New Orleans has right now, that SEER 1 designation would mean that federal assets would be available for Mardi Gras, which would be beneficial to the city. So they're recommending that going forward, that the SEER 1 designation be actively sought and secured by the city of New Orleans. They recommend technology upgrades. So they noted that there really needed to be a fixed incident command post established for special events, including Mardi Gras. And they noted the fact that there is technology out there called the National Incident Management System that is used by law enforcement, you know, around the country. We don't have that technology right now, and they recommend that the city of New Orleans purchase that. They also recommended tabletop exercises in preparation for special events. Superintendent Kirkpatrick had a press conference yesterday announcing that the police department was conducting a tabletop exercise. So they're already implementing the recommendations of the Teneo group, and they conducted a tabletop exercise in preparation for the French Quarter Festival that starts today. So some of the recommendations are already being accepted. Others are under review. It talked about one of the, I think, most important things that most people are not going to be aware of is the NOPD really lacks adequate intelligence analytical capabilities. Right now, they rely on the State Police Fusion Center. Jefferson Parish has a fusion center. Did you create that fusion center, Newell?
When you were there? Yeah, the Criminal Intelligence Center, yeah.
Yep. So New Orleans doesn't have one. They rely on, you know, the state police, and I think at times they participate in the Jefferson Parish Center. Is that correct?
Yeah, we actually had 17 agencies when I left that were involved in that intelligence center, and it served two purposes. One, just the accumulation and dissemination of criminal intelligence out on the streets throughout the metro area. We developed strategies in dealing with that, as well as whether or not there was any terrorist threats in coordination with the State Fusion Center that was run by the Louisiana State Police, which I think is pared down in size. It was housed at LSU back then, and I don't think it's as robust as it once was.
All right. So, you know, what they're saying is that a city like New Orleans that has the special events that we have in light of what had happened on January the 1st, there, you know, NOPD has an analytics division, but they currently lack the ability to proactively assess threats, synthesize intelligence, and support investigative efforts. So increasing the capabilities to include those areas of the analytics division is something that Teneo pointed out is not a want, but it's a need for the NOPD. Now, to do that, you know, you have manpower restrictions, you have budgetary restrictions, but that is not a luxury, that's a necessity. If you're going to adequately protect the city and its visitors, I think we need a more robust analytics division that can also handle threat assessments, and our current capabilities do not include that.
The whole impetus, Rafi, for trying to create this coordinated and collaborative unit that we set aside. Actually, we gave office space, computers, and everything to all the participants because I recognize the importance of collecting this data. New Orleans data was important to JP. JP data was important to New Orleans because crime knows no geographic boundary, and the intelligence information that you're gathering out there crosses all of the jurisdictional lines. The willingness of a lot of agencies to continue to participate because of the lack of human capital kind of waned, and they kind of fell off the map. But you know, the infrastructure, I'm assuming it's still there. I'm assuming it's still alive and well. That's the type of thing that needs to be done. I don't think any singular agency has the assets or resources necessary to do it on their own. It's not cheap. And it requires a lot of communication. And the thought process that I had is that if we could co-locate people at a location, you develop relationships, you know, trust in one another. You're sharing information real time. It's not ending up in the bowels of some agency somewhere waiting to go through some chain of command, because you never know when something that may not seem extraordinarily relevant turns out to be real relevant in real time because something's happening that actually embraces this piece of intelligence information that you have. And you want to be in a position to be able to do something with it.
Well, exactly. So, you know, we've been talking about the fact that crime has been decreasing in the city, and it's in large part because of the police department is engaging in proactive policing, and so are their partners. I would say that intelligence gathering and dissemination and assessing threats, that is critically important in proactive policing, because if you wait for a bomb to go off or an incident to occur, that means that you're playing catch up. If you can identify it before it happens, then it makes the community safer. So even though there is a staffing shortage, I think that this is critically and maybe even more important to have this in-house capability, and maybe the way that this be structured for the time being is for the NOPD to more closely partner with the Jefferson Parish Fusion Center in this and tie all that into the state center. But I don't think that this is a luxury. It's a necessity. And I think it's critically important tool to law enforcement in proactive policing and getting in front of some of the threats that exist rather than responding to them after they occur.
And I think just to put backdrop to this, the listening audience has a better understanding of the context. A lot of what Teneo is recommending is what is done in New York City. And yeah, when we first started with what was called urban area security initiatives under the Department of Homeland Security, we actually had that designation down here. Now, they prioritize these what were referred to as UASIs as it relates to threat assessments. And threat assessments at that time were basically critical infrastructure, rail, ports, certain types of buildings, hospitals, things of that nature. The big cities ended up being favorably treated, more so than a third-tier city like the city of New Orleans, in spite of, you know, Mardi Gras, the fact that we were, putting on Super Bowls, major conventions, major fairs and festivals that a lot of the cities had, but not really to the size that we had. But we never really got to that top tier. So a lot of what they talked about was actually financed by the federal government for the city of New York. And this, and not to say that the city of New York didn't contribute, because they did. They took it very seriously. All of this equipment that you see them mention in this report, I've seen how they deploy it operationally in New York. I was very curious, went up there, spent several days up there, saw the storage facilities that they had, the deployment equipment that they had. They took this stuff serious, and they had the necessary. There was never a doubt as to who was going to move barriers. Somebody had that task. Somebody had access to the equipment. They were trained on the equipment. And when the order went out, we're deploying this, 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 and this in zone whatever, done.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, seamless. But, you know, it takes a certain amount of human capital, takes a certain amount of money to do so, and a leadership commitment to do as much. I don't know that we've ever had that leadership commitment over the last 20 years to really engage in this exercise. In fact, I feel very confident in saying we did not, because we did very little in that regard, contrary to all the training that we all received. I mean, I know a lot of those NOPD leaders went to the same training that I went, and the question really was, were you going to come home and actually do something about it or not? NIMS has been around for 3 decades, if not more. I mean, you know,
so what's
it's not a new,
right,
it's not a new revelation. What's that?
Yeah, no, that's all very informative of that, because I've never been up to New York to see that. And I know that there's a cost in that. So in New Orleans right now, the barricades that are deployed in the Bourbon Street area, they're deployed by NOPD officers. So those barricade deployments have to be put down in the evening and picked up in the early morning. And it takes about an hour and a half of an officer's time. And that is, in my opinion, a misuse of our police force. That shouldn't be the responsibility of police officers to deploy that equipment. That should be other city, you know, workers that go do that, because it's essentially manual labor. I think
in New York, it's civilian personnel under the NYPD, if my memory serves me correct. It's been a while since I've been there, but I think they were civilian personnel under the NYPD.
Well, we need to have something like that in place. So this plan provides a blueprint from where we are to where we need to aspire to be and how we can move in that direction. And I think that it's already been acted upon in some respects. We're waiting to see what the mayor is ultimately going to decide, because the superintendent has already said that it's going to be the city's decision about whether to make Bourbon Street a mall, which is code for saying it's up to the mayor to decide if Bourbon Street is going to be a permanent pedestrian mall. That remains to be seen. So we'll be looking for what the decision is in the near future from the mayor's office with respect to that recommendation.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.